Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you're wondering why when I have Jim Barrier on the show, he's always on the phone. Well, my friend, I'd be happy to answer that question the next time he's on the phone, because today he's with us incarnate in the studio, already fiddling with the mic, already making noise while I'm trying to talk. Jim, welcome to our program.
Well, that's been the history. I'm always making noise.
We're on the air. Let me adjust my mic now.
I'm always making noise.
We're on the air. Good time to adjust the mic.
We're right off the bat here.
Yeah.
Hey, it's great to be here. I love so much. Love being in the studio with you, and I love being in San Diego where you have perfect weather always.
Where there's no interest in eschatology.
And there is real Mexican food.
Yes.
And so
unlike that Tex-Mex that I eat when I visit you in Texas.
I live in the land where that was invented. But I'm thrilled to be here, and I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Yes.
And including you, sir.
And for those of you that are not fathers, we don't want to leave you out, so happy day.
Yeah.
Just have a happy day.
Yeah. I have a friend who's been a friend for a long time, goes to church, solid Christian, but he didn't go to church on Father's Day because he never got married, never had kids. He says, I think it's wrong to have a day where they talk about just one small...
And I can understand that. It leaves people out. But on the other hand, you can't have the tail wag the dog. It's important to be a father and a mother. And it's certainly an option to not be a father or a mother also. But if they honor people that do it, that's fine. It's like they honor veterans. I'm not a vet, but I think it's great that we honor our veterans. I'm going to go, I'm not going to show up on Veterans Day because they're going to.
Yeah.
That's like, get over it.
And I just say, you could celebrate people that are fathers, and you could celebrate the fact that you had a father.
Yeah.
And so, anyway.
And, of course, some people did not have great relationships with their father, so they don't be. But anyway, that's why I said we're not going to leave you out. Happy day.
So happy day,
everybody.
We can
get around all the feelings and hurt feelings.
Because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
No, God forbid we hurt anybody's feelings today.
We've talked about that before,
all you have to
Jesus
do is
always worried about offending people.
Oh, I know.
So did Paul.
I know.
And
Jesus used to stay up at night and say, I shouldn't have called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. What was I thinking? Jesus was always very concerned about that.
And calling Herod a fox,
Which,
it was not a compliment in that
day. No, in those days that had a different meaning than it means today.
Okay, well, a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to talk tonight about something. Let me just open this with a story. I love music. We often do.
Stump Jim Barrier. Yeah.
So two of my favorite artists over the years have been Van Morrison and Eric Clapton. They have released a couple of new songs. The most recent one is called Rebels. And what it is, they're kicking against the system for all, shutting down things. The other one was No More Lockdown. And it's because of all their musician friends who have been starving for the last year and a half because they can't perform.
Oh, I know some musicians that haven't been able to perform. That is a real problem.
So they did some songs, and all the proceeds are going to help other musicians. Pretty cool thing. And lo and behold, the British government and many of their fans have attacked them for not following the science.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to talk about not following the science. So that is the rhetoric right now. And of course, the current president loves to throw that term around about the former president. He doesn't follow science.
The very idea that Joe Biden would gauge the intelligence of anybody else, it would be laughable.
It is laughable.
For the fact that he's our president now, which is, there's nothing about what that idiot is doing that surprises me, though. Any thinking person knew that this was the kind of president we were going to get. He's an embarrassment. And the networks just try to cover for him at every turn. Oh, what a wonderful moment he had with Vladimir Putin. That was just, it was so measured and so moderate.
I think it boils down to, he's still not Trump.
Yeah, at least he's not Trump. He's a bumbling baboon, but he's not Trump. He gets up there and goes, let's see. I was told that I could only take two questions, and I was told to which reporters to take the questions for, and I don't want to do a follow-up. I'm like, anything else?
Yeah. Well, long before he was president, you would have moments with Joe, and you played the theme from Otis. Otis from Superman.
Oh yeah, our Joe perfect. Biden's. We're probably due for that again. Yeah, I've never seen more fitting music.
Yeah, he could have played that part.
Although I would have, you realize I would have voted for Otis as president before Joe Biden.
And then they would have changed the nation's capital to Otisburg.
I would have voted for a canker sore or pond scum before voting for Joe Biden.
Okay. All right. So you can tell, folks, that we're not big fans of Joe Biden.
Yeah, and we don't like him either.
So, but that's kind of the thing. There's two things you can, if you're offended or if you don't approve or if you want to alienate somebody, you either play the race card and say they're a racist, or you say they don't follow science. That's the two cards.
Exactly. Exactly.
So science now.
And these are the people that say if you want to go in and tell a little kindergarten boy that he's really a girl, that who are we to judge? And these people are going to lecture us about following science?
No kidding. Well, we're going to delve into some of that. What I have started thinking or saying is science has become the new religion.
Yes, and it's not new for people to make science into a religion.
We're going to cover some history of science. Here's Cambridge Dictionary definition of science. Knowledge from the careful study of the structure and behavior of the physical world, especially by watching, measuring, and doing experiments, and the development of theories to describe the results of these activities. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a fair definition.
That isn't
what's
happening. If
only the people lecturing us about science were doing that.
Yeah, they're not doing that so much. Now, we're going to back up way, 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 way back. Who was the guy that, the Wayback Machine, Mr. Peabody.
Oh, Mr. Peabody.
And his pet boy Sherman.
Yes.
We're going to go back in time. Now, when the church was in power, you would be persecuted, prosecuted, chastised if you didn't agree with the church.
Yeah, and let's be honest, Jim and I will look back. Jim used to do a radio show in Texas called Resistance Radio, which was critical of the church, even though Jim is a born-again Christian. So,
and a pastor for 40 years.
So if you want to go back to the Middle Ages and a lot of other times, the church doesn't have a great track record of protecting the science, but now it's kind of in reverse.
Well, we're going
to
talk
now,
about
the before
and after.
Now, if you go to church, the people that are into the atheism and the science are behaving like the very middle-aged people that they despise.
Exactly. So, for instance, and I love to talk about Copernicus. He claimed that the Earth orbited around the sun, not vice versa. And his book, Revolutions...
Well, the Earth does orbit around... Oh, you mean he was...
He said that, and the church chastised
him. That's right. It was Ptolemy who said all the planets rotated around the Earth. Yeah. Copernicus was the one that changed it.
And then Galileo picked up on that, and he was ordered... They gave an injunction for him to not hold, defend, or teach that same doctrine because it was against what the church believed.
Well, you know why they finally allowed that to be taught, Jim? He was never removed from YouTube because there was no YouTube back then.
Or Twitter.
Or Twitter or Facebook. Well, so now, the science stood.
I love to, once in a while, I'll meet somebody and we'll be having a discussion or I'll just look at, you know, how things are going in their dialogue or monologue. And I'll say, you know, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Copernicus. And they'll usually say, who's that? And I'll say, he's the man that discovered that the universe doesn't revolve around you.
That's good. So,
and of course, there are people that you kind of get that.
It's like the guy that says, I used to be an atheist till I discovered I was God. You know?
Yeah. Well, it must have been Shirley MacLaine.
There you go.
Yeah, she claimed to be God. She said she had that revelation.
Oh, I knew she was talking about reincarnation. Did she claim to be God also?
There was one in her book, one of her books, she said, I was on the beach and it hit me. I had this revelation. I am God. And I wanted to say, great, why don't you create a planet? Or just an asteroid. Do something
God,
small.
Create a planet and go live there so we don't have to hear from you anymore.
So, yeah. But today, as you said, if you disagree with the so-called science, you're the heretic.
Have so many scientists debating each other, particularly in the medical community over this COVID thing. But if your name doesn't end with the word Fauci, they don't care.
We're going to get to Dr. Fausti. That's what I call him.
Dr. Faustus.
He made a deal.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about, in history, there have been people of science who were people of faith. Einstein believed in God. Maybe not the same...
Not the Judeo-Christian God, but he certainly believed that, he said, anyone who studies this universe must come to the conclusion that a manifest spirit is at work.
Right.
That
he
is not
it,
an
he
atheist
called it the mind
statement.
Of God. But he said, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. And so, and
that's
Einstein's a
that's
you know...
A very, well, they don't call him Einstein for nothing.
Okay, here's a few more. I'm just going to go through these and just...
Hey, wait, I have to just say, do you remember the Bob Newhart show with his dumb friend Howard?
Yeah.
And they were talking, Bob Newhart took an IQ test and came out with a lower score than Emily. So he started saying, well, IQ tests don't really matter. Did you know that Albert Einstein, when he went to school, flunked math? And Howard goes, really? I got a C. I used to love that show.
Yeah, I love Newhart. Okay, here's a few more. Leonardo da Vinci, I'm a big fan of. He wrote about architecture, anatomy, biology, physics, aeronautics, and painted The Last Supper, which I've seen in person, and it's very moving. And he believed in God. Now, he didn't agree with the church a lot, but they paid him to do these things, so he put up with them, or they put up with him.
Yeah.
Francis Bacon, may have heard of him, the father of empiricism, which is that knowledge comes primarily from sensory experience or studying. He said, the scriptures are laid before us to reveal the will of God and prevent our falling into error. Francis Bacon said that. Pascal, who you know, I know you know.
Pascal's wager.
Yeah, he developed the theory of probabilities. I became a believer because of Pascal's wager. And if you're listening and don't know what that is, he said, if the believer is right, he has gained everything. If he is wrong, he has lost nothing. If the unbeliever is right, he has gained nothing. But if he is wrong, he has lost everything. And someone told me that when I was 16 years old. I laid awake all night. It just bothered me. I thought, I can't argue with that. And I prayed this prayer, because I was at best an agnostic. And I prayed, God, if you're there, and I don't believe you are, but if you are, reveal yourself to me and show me. And then I read some more things. C.S. Lewis's thing about Jesus was either a lunatic or a liar or who he claimed. And I started reading things like that. And I eventually became a person of faith.
But it's good that you added in the part about reveal, because a lot of times people listen to Pascal's wager and they say, well, okay, yeah, it's true that if there is a heaven and there is a hell, I'd be wise to do this. But on the other hand, if that doesn't exist, do I want to waste my time following something that may not be true? Our point is that it is true and that God has given us evidence that it's true, and you can actually have a relationship with the Spirit of God, which would prove that it's true. My guest is Jim Barrier, who's with us in the studio. We will be right back.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my good friend, Jim Barrier.
And I need to apologize for having the boldness to come on the Bob Siegel Show and talk on apologetics. I'm not worthy to untie his apologist sandals.
Oh, you do quite well, well.
But it's your wheelhouse. But these are just things that have been on my mind because of all this rhetoric about science. So we're talking about some famous scientists who were people of faith. Here's a few more. You've heard of Isaac Newton, no doubt. Mathematician, physicist, astronomer. Isaac Newton said these words, "We account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any profane history whatsoever." That's powerful.
Well, he was just a white male from Europe. What the heck did he know?
Well, he apparently knew a few things. Here's a good one. Samuel Morse, inventor of the telegraph and developer of the Morse code, named after him. The first message sent over the wire was quoting Numbers 23:23, "What hath God wrought?" Morris said, "The nearer I approach the end of my pilgrimage, the clearer is the evidence of the divine origin of the Bible, and the grandeur and sublimity of God's remedy for a fallen man are more appreciated, and the future is illumined with hope and joy."
Wow, very profound, a lot of these statements.
That's good stuff. That's Samuel Morse.
Sure is.
This just in. Here's another one. Most of these names are familiar. Louis Pasteur, the father of microbiology. He developed numerous vaccines and, of course, pasteurization.
Oh, were they real vaccines?
They were FDA approved.
Like the thing they're giving out today?
Okay. Well, he developed that whole concept, and his worked. His vaccines worked. He said this, "The more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator. I pray while I am engaged at my work in my laboratory."
Yeah, I mean, I remember Francis Schaeffer made the comment once that we have these scientists who took God very seriously, and we built our science on their backs, and then gone out and thrown out the source. Those scientists were assuming an orderly universe with a creator, so we've claimed their results and then thrown out the very foundation of their science.
Yeah.
Really ironic.
It really is, and we're gonna get into some irony in just a few minutes. So this is a great one. The original rocket scientist, Wernher von Braun, said, "An outlook of the universe should only confirm our belief in the certainty of its creator. I find it as difficult to understand a scientist who does not acknowledge the presence of a superior rationality behind the existence of the universe as it is to comprehend a theologian who would deny the advances of science."
Very good.
Was
he one of those German scientists that had to get out of there from under the Nazis?
Yeah.
And then there was a big race between America and Russia.
Well, there was, and that was
the
line.
To get the scientists on their side.
One of my favorite movies, The Right Stuff.
The Right, wonderful movie.
And Johnson right says, "Well, our Germans are better than their Germans, aren't we?" And by a hair, because they were working feverishly on their own hydrogen bomb.
It was such a race to get them.
So there's the voice of some prominent scientists, people that we've built our whole scientific system on the studies of these guys. Now, in the postmodern era, and I've tried real hard to define what that means, postmodern, but it basically means there's no absolute. In the postmodern
era, they say there's no absolute.
Yeah.
Of course, they just made an absolute statement.
Exactly. I had a neighbor that said that. He says nothing is absolute. And I said, you realize you just made an absolute statement.
Yeah, they say there's no such thing as truth. I said, is it your opinion that there's no such thing as truth? Are you telling me it's absolutely true that there's no such thing as truth? It's absolutely true. Well, then you just defeated your own argument.
Exactly. Sadly, much of our culture ignores logic and semantics. And, premise, conclusion, those things that I learned at a young age. And that helped lead me to a life of faith. When confronted with Pascal's gamble, I had already learned semantics, and I thought, okay, that's true. I can't argue with this guy. So here's some of the things that have happened now in this age. As science has become the authority, religion has become passé. The university has replaced the church. Evolution has replaced creation. Human life has become just so much chemicals, void of spiritual life or meaning. An unborn human is now just tissue, and the only value is if it can be harvested. That's kind of harsh, but it's the truth. Absolute truth evaporated, and moral law became irrelevant. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, and these were the kinds of beliefs that brought the Nazis into power. People forget that Hitler was a big fan of Friedrich Nietzsche, who made the statement, "God is dead," so popular.
Well, I remember way back when I worked at a record store across the footbridge from San Diego State. And they were in construction, so there's plywood up along the sidewalk, and someone had come along with a spray can and wrote, "God is dead, Nietzsche."
Right.
And then a few days later, someone came along and wrote, "Nietzsche is dead, God.
Yeah. I've heard that.
I saw a version
in a classroom. Somebody did that on a blackboard in a classroom once,
That's good stuff. I always love those. I had another one, a bulletin board where I worked one time. People were always posting things, and somebody was putting Christian tracks, and someone wrote, "You Christians need to read Why I Am Not a Christian."
Oh, by Bertrand Russell.
Yeah, by Bertrand Russell. And someone wrote, I'll read that as soon as I'm finished reading Why I Am a Christian, the Bible.
As soon as Bertrand Russell rises from the dead like Jesus did, we'll pay more attention to him.
And there's some holes in Mr. Russell's thing. We've talked about
some
of that before.
He's a good sparring partner, though. I hammered out a lot of my philosophy that defends God by reading his stuff. He's a great sparring partner when you're trying to work your thoughts out.
So what has happened now, it's reversed. Now, this came to me just earlier this evening when we were getting ready to go on the show, and I was thinking, is it science fiction or fiction science? Think about this. Now, you're a movie buff. Films like 2001.
One of the best movies ever made, I would say.
War Games, which was fun.
I like War Games. Yeah. Matthew Broderick,
Terminator. which was real popular.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a Terminator fan as some, but they are well-made movies with very interesting premise about artificial intelligence.
And that's the common thread, that artificial intelligence became a threat to humanity, which Fritz Lang's Metropolis actually did that way, way back. And but that's a theme in science fiction.
Well, we have an artificial intelligence running our country right now.
I knew that was coming.
You didn't think I was going to let that one go by.
I just lobbed one out over the plate for you.
When you were reading the famous profound quotes, I thought you were going to add, and for crying out loud, wear your mask, Joe Biden.
Yeah, come on, man.
He won't stand up to Russia. He won't stand up to China, but he'll take a stand for those masks. You go get them, Joe. You go get them.
Well, but that whole theory or theme in science fiction of artificial intelligence and it being a threat, guess what? It's here. It's upon us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will not own a vehicle that drives itself. I don't mind little blinkers and things that warn me if I'm, you know, backing up into something. I don't want a car that'll steer itself and drive itself. I'm not going
to
do it.
The only usage I could think, there's been times I've driven late at night and I was ready to fall asleep. If there was something where I could just say, well, if I can let it temporarily take over in my absence, like it's an emergency thing, but not when I'm awake and able to drive the car myself.
There are precious few human beings I feel comfortable being a passenger while they're driving. So,
well, I got a story to tell you. I fell asleep at the wheel one time and woke up and was still driving, and I'm convinced that a couple of angels could
can be scary.
It's an interesting story, but for another time.
Another time. Now, we defined science a while back. And because science involves experimentation and theory and learning by observing, it changes. And this is what the problem is. Something that was once scientifically assumed or accepted changes because they discover new things.
Exactly. They once said we couldn't split the atom, for instance.
So I'm going to give a few examples of how science has changed over the years. Here's some examples. Aristotle, who was really a philosopher, but in his day, you know, was a scientist. He believed in spontaneous generation. And actually, that was accepted until the 19th century when Louis Pasteur, who we mentioned earlier, refuted it. So for centuries, people believed that something could just kind of a pile of rags, all of a sudden some rats would emerge or whatever. Isaac Newton, who we mentioned earlier, great scientist, believed in alchemy, that you could take a inexpensive metal and turn it into gold. Alchemy was popular and pursued, and people believed in it up until the 18th century.
And those that would have tried to refute it in their day would have been called unscientific because
they
were going along with the minority opinion. Opinion is equated with science.
That's true
in all the other disciplines as well.
Yeah, and that's
the majority opinion
tonight.
Must be correct.
Now this one, you'll recognize some of this. It was once believed that the body contained four humors: blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm. And it was believed that the right balance of these four things would make a person healthy, but an excess or decrease of any one of them would cause illness. That is what eventually evolved into the temperaments that Tim LaHaye wrote about. Phlegmatic and melancholic, choleric, sanguine came from that. But the way they would treat people then is bloodletting, induced vomiting, purging, which I won't go into detail what that is, but you can imagine, because I thought if we could get rid of the wrong fluids.
Aren't you glad we didn't have to grow up in those days?
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was believed. That was held for a long time, accepted. Phrenology, that the measuring of the contour of the skull, the shape of your skull, could predict personality traits.
Oh, boy.
That was practiced through the 19th century.
This is reminding me of Steve Martin on Saturday Night Live, Theodoric of York.
Yeah, that's right.
Looks like she needs a good bleeding.
That's what that was about. Yeah. Darwin, of course, we talk about him a lot.
Darwin believed in God, too.
Yes,
at least
he did.
For a while. He was an agnostic late in his life. But even then, an agnostic, never became an atheist.
Well, I have a friend who has a copy of his original work. And at the end, he closes it off with, he's giving praise to the Creator for these wonderful things.
He fully believed in God when he wrote Origins of Species.
But the key to his theory of evolution by natural selection was that favorable traits were passed on through the genes. This has now been refuted, rejected. Science does not believe that the transitions happen through genetic inheritance, but rather from external things, and they adapt and all of that. So even Darwin's stuff has been refuted. No doubt you are familiar with the lost continent of Atlantis.
Oh, of course.
You know, and I have friends that they believe they can find it. They still believe it's there. I don't know. But did you know that 16th century European experts in geography were fully convinced that California was an island separate from the North American continent? And they even drew maps up accordingly.
Now, well, they were close. We have the San Andreas Fault that could separate us from the rest of the
continent.
I
personally think it's a good idea. We might need to go back to that one.
There we go. Well, I have no doubt that even if we have a big earthquake and separate, Newsom will still tell us to wear masks.
No doubt. We're going to get to Dr. Fauci in a little bit. In the 19th century, as you know, there was starting to be some sort of industrial revolution, didn't come around until the turn of the century, but there was technology, there was machines and stuff. And in the 19th century, there was a saying, the rain follows the plow. What that meant was when people came in and settled, that caused rain in the area. This is just an early version of man-made climate change. And they taught that. They believed that if you get a big settlement, it's going to rain there, because there was really no science behind it, but that was their theory. Now, this is just a personal one of mine, and this has been very close to my heart. In 1930, they discovered what they declared to be the ninth planet, Pluto. And in the same year, interestingly, Walt Disney had the character Pluto.
Pluto, Mickey Mouse's dog, yeah.
Yeah. Then in 2006, Pluto was declared a dwarf planet. It's not a planet anymore. This hurt my feelings. This hurt my feelings deeply, because I don't think someone should be judged by their body's size.
And Disney must be turning in his grave, because I'm sure they wouldn't have named the dog Pluto if they thought Pluto was just a dwarf planet, not a real planet.
Now, I always had a problem with the fact that Pluto was a dog and he never talked.
And Goofy was a owner, dog. And his owner was a mouse. Yeah, and then Goofy was a dog
and he could talk.
It's Goofy.
Okay, that was a personal one. It was believed that the sound barrier could not be broken, that a human could not survive going past the speed of sound.
Chuck Yeager broke it.
In 1947, and there we go back, the movie
The Right Stuff
was a great film.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and it started with Chuck Yeager and then went all the way up to the Mercury astronaut.
He climbed into the Bell X-1, which I've seen hanging in the Smithsonian at the Air and Space Museum. And guess what?
He broke the sound barrier. Was that Tom Berenger that played the role?
No,
the
that was
stuff?
Sam, the writer, actually. Sam...
I know who you mean, but it's on the tip of my tongue.
He passed away a few years ago. He was actually a playwright, but then he played that part. Played it very well. And give me a stick of Beeman's, and he broke his arm riding a horse and all of this. It was great. Go check out that film. You can find it somewhere in the library. But anyway, Chuck Yeager, great hero of mine, who, by the way, his nephew was Steve Yeager, who was a catcher for the Dodgers, who I don't like. But just, I love that trivia stuff, you know.
Yes, we see that.
Sam Shepard.
Sam Shepard.
What did
go.
I say? I was Sam something.
I don't know why I was thinking Berenger. Oh,
yeah.
I
always got Sam Shepard and Sam Elliott mixed up, and I love Sam Elliott.
Oh, Sam Elliott's great.
He
with
has
that
a
deep voice.
Great voice. He has a radio voice. I do not.
Like, come on, Wyatt. This is your town, too.
Though he was in a movie, We Were Soldiers, with Mel Gibson, and he didn't have a mustache. And it was just wrong. There's that voice, and I'm going, wait, where's the mustache?
Sam without a mustache.
A good film, though.
Like the Navy without ships, okay.
Now, this is one, I know you just did a show about the critical race theory and all of that, which, oh boy, we're not going to rehash all of that, but the existence of race categories was taught by anthropologists through the 20th century.
And taught quite a bit by the Nazis, I should say.
Yeah, but, I mean, all of Western science, and they used race as an explanation for biological differences, psychology, intelligence, and socioeconomic separation because of people's race. This was accepted as science.
Yeah, and for those of you that make Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, a huge heroine, she consulted with Adolf Hitler's eugenicists and believed in a lot of the Nazi eugenics experiments, distanced herself from them after the war when all the concentration camps came out. Okay, we will be back for one more segment. My guest today, Jim Barrier.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
You know, there's a new film coming out. West Side Story has been remade.
Oh, no. I just shudder to think.
I know.
I hate remakes. That's
what Steven Spielberg's behind it.
He's hit and miss sometimes.
You know,
I think he's a great director. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, well, he did the...
Remakes are just never a good idea.
He did the Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull,
and,
too.
And
okay?
So have you...
I like that. And also, there's another Indiana Jones movie coming out, too.
Just retire.
So, Jim, which main character in West Side Story is going to come out of the closet? Any idea? Because it's Hollywood. One of them is, it will not qualify for any awards otherwise.
Well, probably Officer Krupke, but I don't know.
Gee, Officer Krupke.
Yeah, there you go. You asked.
that would be a hot one, Officer Krupke.
Okay. Okay, so we just touched on the whole thing of critical race theory and all of that, and you did a great show on that. But this is my twist on the current rhetoric. The human race is systemically ethnocentric. All through history, tribes have been claiming to be superior to other tribes. People groups have fought with one another. It isn't a black and white thing. It's a human problem.
Yeah, it is. And there is nothing more racist than critical race theory because they teach that if you're white, you're an oppressor and you're a racist.
And that's prejudice.
Some are even teaching that you can be... Just being born white makes you that way, but the high majority of it will say it's because you're part of the systemic system.
And again, it's more of an agenda. It's not science. It's not even good sociology. Well, it's political.
Yeah, and we had an excellent guest, Mark Walters, that was on last week refuting that. If you go to my website, you can have a chance to still listen to that show.
I don't know if you talked about just historic things, but... You know, Babylon, Egypt, Greece, and Rome all built their empires with slave labor.
Oh, well, slavery is as old as human history.
Yeah, and on and on. So there's a whole bunch of examples of that. One of the things, though, that I had in my long list, and I'm not going to read the whole list now because we covered so much already, but you're familiar with the Armenian genocide in Turkey, the Ottoman Empire?
Yes, a little bit about it, yes.
There's a film, if you can find it, called The Promise, starring Oscar Isaac, who was Poe in the later Star Wars films. Great actor. I really love him. And it's similar to about the Bolshevik Revolution and Laura's theme, Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago. That was a wonderful
it's
movie.
It's that type of film, not the spectacle that one was. And that whole thing was very similar to the Holocaust and everything, but it was the Armenians being almost wiped out. Almost wiped out. And
people that are persecuted who come into power, sometimes even for a legitimate cause, will in time, when they gain too much power, start persecuting others and doing to them what had been done to them.
Just about every time. But I wanted to point that one out because it wasn't a well-known film, and it's not even a well-known piece of history, but it's very important.
Yeah, that's a piece of history that not a lot of people study or talk about.
Now, we're going to close out, and we're going to bring it right back. In 1952... the American Psychiatric Association, and then in 1977, the World Health Organization. Remember them? Who? Both of those organizations classified homosexuality as a mental illness. They've had to backtrack on that now. You know, they've since changed their positions, obviously. Now, of course, the World Health Organization and the CDC and Dr. Fauci.
I love your take on this. They have more
flip-flops than... The Reynolds stand at the beach. They flip-flop more than a cheap pair of shower shoes.
You must have come in with an arsenal of 10 of these. Keep going.
No, it's because I love Dennis Miller. I wish I could think of things the way he does. So current science, this whole COVID thing, they flip-flopped so many times on wear a mask, don't wear a mask, get a shot, don't get a shot.
Wear two masks, wear a nylon stocking over it, wear a mask even after the vaccine.
Well, and we talked about it, you know, today, none of the COVID vaccines are FDA approved.
Right. And to be fair to President Trump, he rushed that, and I think he felt, and he did say, that a lot of times what makes these things last 20 years for FDA approval is a lot of red tape. But the other side of it is, it's still considered in its experimental stage.
It is experimental.
And they should not be putting pressure upon people to take a vaccine that they don't want to take.
then that's the problem I have. My body, my choice.
Yeah, but Jim, unless you've had an abortion, you're not allowed to say my body, my choice. That's the only time that that statement matters to the left. That's the only choice.
Of course it is.
About your body or about life that they want you to be able to make. They want to choose everything else for you.
And see, that's where my issue is. Back to Big Brother and all of those. I don't want the government dictating to me my choices on religion, on my health, on my paycheck. Well, of course, they're going to take half of that anyway. I'm retired now, so they can't tax me anymore. But
they'll think of something.
That's really the issue for me. Now, going to wrap this up. You're going to like the way I wrap this up.
Oh, we always like the way you wrap it up, Jim.
Science is ever-changing. It's the nature of science because it's learning, it's observing. So science is always changing. The world is always changing. Someone said the only constant is change. I do workshops, pre-marriage workshops, and the first statement I make is that take your current age, cut it in half, and then go back to whatever you were then. If you're 30 now, when you were 15, if you're 24, when you were 12, have you changed from that time until now? Yes. And then I go on to talk about how you're going to keep changing. And if you get married, don't expect your partner to be the same that they are now.
It's a good reason to not go out and get a tattoo because you're going to change and you might not like what you tattooed on yourself.
That's true. So things are always changing. That's kind of the nature of this world that God has created. But there are some things that never change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So there are some absolute constant things that you can build your life on. Unfortunately, they're not modern science. Okay.
Well, it's a good thing YouTube wasn't around in Jesus' day to cancel him, and his legacy was able to survive.
You know, I always say I love technology except for when I hate it. You know, there's a point where I just have to say, okay, I'm not going to listen to Siri or Alexa. I'm going to listen to that still small voice that Jiminy Cricket mentioned when they asked him, what's a conscience? He says, that still small voice that no one listens to.
Did you know that in the original novel that Pinocchio was based on, it was nothing like Disney's version? What was similar is that Jiminy Cricket was acting like Pinocchio's conscience.
Yeah.
But he didn't want a conscience. He smashed him in chapter 2.
Oh, my.
And he wasn't in the rest of the book. A little different than Disney's
Some
version.
Viewers may find scenes in this film offensive.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But that's the thing we always come back to. Trust God. Trust his word. Trust in his son, Jesus Christ. And back to Pascal's wager, if you believe in Jesus and have faith, you can't lose. If you don't, you can't win.
Yeah, and we need structure in our lives. Change is a part of life,
yeah.
But the other side of it is structure gives us our bearings. So it is so important to know that there is a God of the universe who is unchanging.
Yes, and there are times in your life when you need that because everything seems chaotic, and you can turn to one who is bigger than your problems and your chaos, the one who created all of the universe and who himself is uncreated, and that is stable.
Very good. Well, Jim, it's always great having you, and doubly great having you actually in the studio. I guess next time you'll be back to the phone, but
yeah, probably
we do what we have to do. We'll see you next time, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.